Hello, and welcome my public history listeners to my very first podcast ever. I will be your host, Brad Hatch, and this is my mapping-based project. I titled it The Grand Experience. The place I'm referring to is the Great Jackson Hole area, and talking about four key locations that make up this memorable high country on my podcast tour. Jackson is one of my favorite places on earth, spending many summers up there. Let's get into it. First location on the map is Jackson Hole. According to Google, the road is on Highway US 191 North, US 26 East, Wyoming. A 40-mile long valley being a flat hole in the mountains that resides north and south along the eastern side of the Teton Mountain Range and west of the Gros Ventre Range, the Sleeping Indian. Being an intermountain basin, Jackson Hole, sitting among the Rocky Mountains, western Wyoming, right next to the Idaho border, about 56 miles south of Yellowstone National Park. The Jackson in Jackson Hole comes from a celebrated American pioneer, fur trader, trapper, and explorer, David Davy Jackson. Being recruited from William Ashley and Andrew Henry Fur Company, although Jackson fur trade movements support no documentation of his whereabouts, historians believe he operated in the Jackson Hole area. That's where the famous name is from. In essence, it's a tribute to all the fur trappers and explorers' legacy related to the area. Now to expand on the inhabitants that roam the high country around Jackson before the frontiersmen having a footprint in colonizing Jackson Hole. The different migrations of many tribal bands, such as Crow, Bannock, Blackfoot, Northern Arapaho, Gros Ventre, Nez Perce, and the Sioux, moving across the eastern Idaho and Green River Basin around the mid-16th century. The Mountain Shoshone tribe specifically, disregarding the valley due to the small bison herds and its pastures lacking horses altogether, establishing instead nooks in the mountains next to Jackson Hole, being their high country hunters. But brutal winters soon made the Shoshone adopt more plains culture towards northern plains of Antelope Flats, just outside of Jackson. The eastern Shoshone, now north side, past of the valley, left Jackson Hole landscape untouched until the 1800s, when mountain men and fur trappers discovered an abundance of fur-bearing animal habitat on the Snake River and near the valley against the mountains became a popular place for these groups. Very interesting, the contrast that of quick adaptation for the Shoshone tribe left this area in order to support their tribe onto the plains, whereas the pioneers, the frontier settlers, found a way to make a profitable endeavors with the rise of the fur trade, with this economic expansion creating fur companies staying economically viable for another three decades. But most importantly, both American Indians and fur trappers plus mountain men helped the opening up of the westward expansion trails for Americans to settle on the new territories far west in the United States. The Gros Ventre Range, sitting opposite of the Tetons, sits about 13 miles southwest of the town of Jackson. The range, including a 5-mile-long ridge called Sheep Mountain, that is easily seen from Jackson with rock cliffs forming above the tree line and referred to as the Sleeping Indian, and home to the elk herds. I chose this location because of a certain man advocating for the land, this person who brought attention to preserving the Gros Ventre Range wilderness, also preserving the big game that resides there. The name of J.R. Jones, being born in California Gold Camp in 1873, his first career was gambling. Playing poker while moving around to different mine camps was the scene of the best games, biggest pots. Jones figured out that mining is another form of gambling, and when his luck ran out, he always found work in the nearby boom towns. We're possibly looking at one of the very first professional gamblers that I have ever read. By doing this, he was very calculated in his risk, his luck, and strategy to surviving. After a time, Jones decided to make an honest living, settling on the banks of the Gros Ventre River in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. going through hardship with lack of water, terrible laws, no money, no help, Jones and his family toughed it out for 5 brief summers and 5 long winters. Jones saved what he could and eventually moved to town as a shopkeeper plus a journalist, and very soon got involved into local politics. Living in Jackson, he witnessed and was outraged by the slaughter of elk by poachers on the old game range. At the same time, new livestock was snatching up the free space. Jones, through his writing, ushered in the nation's attention to the destruction of the natural elk habitat. On July 23, 1923, at the Maud Noble Cabin at Manor's Ferry, Jones was present when the U.S. government announced plans for the Grand Teton National Park to the public. Why is this important? For Jones making noise in Washington and being a national park booster, Jones made many enemies in Jackson, being radically in favor for government intervention preserving the land. However, he's not a typical frontiersman, but residents remember Jones as a straight shooter that played a fair game and becoming a community leader in Jackson that people respected. Jones' influence helped create the Gros Ventre Range to be part of the Bridger-Teton National Forest in 1923. I want to put in perspective, if it wasn't for Jones, one man raising spatial awareness, he made a difference to actively protect and maintain the park's natural resources in the public domain instead of the private sector. In the West, an extremely unpopular idea, especially in the Gros Ventre Range, the range would not be what it is today without his intervention. Against all odds, that is the mass migration of people finding land and then buying it for cheap for a better life in the West. Now moving on to our third location, the Snake River. Not only the resource of water for the wildlife in the Shoshone and Nez Perce, a vital resource through time, another great draw here, as well as for the fur trappers, is to get the beaver hide to sell to fashionable Europeans for the real deal. Early explorers interpreting the Shoshone tribe as they explain how they view animals, the landscape, would form an S-shaped gesture with their hands, which also represents the swimming salmon to the Shoshone in the river. But earlier explorers, on the other hand, thought they were forming a snake, now known as the Snake River today. It stretches to be 1,078 miles long, reaching from Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, all the way up to Washington State. So what? What's the big deal, right? After doing some research, I want to share an important amount of history that transpired in 1927 of a land purchasing company called Snake River Land Company. Secretly being a front for Rockefeller Jr., living in New York at the time, buying land in and around Jackson Hole Valley without the current residents knowing the purpose or intentions for the property except holding land for the National Park Service in hindsight. Acquiring about 35,000 acres worth $1.4 million at the time, but was facing fierce resistance from ranchers refusing the company to part ways with their land selling to this outside identity. Battling for about 15 years on the issue, even during the Great Depression, some of the ranchers felt the economic pressure to sell and did. Both oppositions being at an impasse, the inhabitants did not trust these purchasing tactics that they were lobbying for years. On the flip side, due to the public outcry, the government felt the tension, refused to take the land from the Snake River Land Company for the uncertainty of the outcome if they did. Fast forward to 1943, Rockefeller Jr. writes a letter to the sitting president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who gave an ultimatum, basically saying if you don't take the land he required for the National Park Services, that he would sell this land on the open market to the highest bidder. That same year, the president accepted the donation, receiving 222,000 acres. With this, created the Jackson Hole National Monument, changing the name from the Snake River Company to the Jackson Hole Preserve Incorporated, and started opening up Oxbow Bend and other areas on the Snake River, and returned the bison herds once more on the open plains again to freely roam on both sides of the river. Why Rockefeller Jr. cared about Jackson for 20 plus years? Well, he summered a year in Jackson Hole as a teen, left a lasting impression to protect the valley while being a philanthropist. He was also a strong conservationist for Yellowstone National Park and Grand Teton National Park. The last location, the Grand Tetons, being northwest of Jackson, rising about 13,747 feet above the sea, ranks among the echelon of peaks on the continent. Researching to find the origin of the Grand Tetons, I discovered the first recorded word of Teton was the Teton Sioux people. Noticed the Lewis and Clark expedition was spotted by the southern end of the Teton Range. Lewis and Clark were hoping to slip by through Teton Pass undetected because now they had to negotiate 7 days to keep going. On the last night of the council meetings with the Tetons and Yankton tribes, Clark recorded the names of the 12 Sioux tribes inhabiting the area. Four out of the 12 Sioux tribe names constructed as Tetons, which two included in the name specifically, the So-on-Teton and Tetarton tribes. However, historians have disputed the origin of Teton. Some argue it was the French trappers naming the three peaks, as they called them, Les Trios Tetons. In English means the three breasts, and the tallest being the Grand Teton. The Grand Tetons was part of the Shoshone land, more than 44 million acres, including Salt Lake Valley in Utah and Yellowstone National Park in 1863. With the white man expansion into the west, the battle-proven warrior, Chief Washakie, seeing the changing tide for the eastern Shoshone people, as well as other tribes making him the de facto leader representative with dealing with the United States government. Because of the friendship Washakie made by participating in the fur trade for 25 years, his experience would benefit the tribes as he could develop a matching relationship with the U.S. officials. Leading the American Indians towards to make peace in many council meetings with the tribal elders, Chief Washakie is one of the only chief leaders that was able to choose the desired location for his people when he signed the Fort Bridger Treaty on July 3, 1868. Today, the Wind River Indian Reservation, containing 2.2 million acres sitting east of Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, a wise choice in agreement with the other sub-chiefs that the Wind River Mountains having abundant worth of resources. After this, Chief Washakie played a remarkable role in statehood, the territorial development of Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, and Utah. A legendary leader committed to the welfare to his people, his process for seeking peace through relationships for both groups to prosperity. Chief Washakie is the only known Native American to receive a full military funeral. In conclusion, throughout my history tour, I've tried to highlight the physical locations that were shaped by the many individuals that fought to conserve and protect Jackson Hole. Although the conservationists of Jackson may have come from varied backgrounds, they all experience the same connections towards this iconic landscape. This has been Brad Hatch, and thank you for listening.